Take our Bibles this morning. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. And I want to open the message as far as our missions emphasis month on explaining the whole idea about missions. And maybe some folks don't understand exactly what it is or why we do what we do when it comes to missions. So I want to preach on this subject this morning. Missions, the heartbeat of the church. Missions, the heartbeat of the church. So Matthew chapter 28, if you find your place, if you'll stand with me, please. And we're going to read a few verses here together. Matthew chapter 28. And we're going to begin reading in verse 16. Matthew chapter 28, beginning in verse 16. The scripture says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you this morning, and we're so thankful that you've, in your wisdom, designed the local assembly. Thank you for the church. And God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts, God, this morning. And Lord, we invite you into this service, Holy Spirit, and we pray that you'd be here and very active in our midst this morning. And Lord, I pray that as we look at this subject of missions, that God, we'd look beyond our own lives, and we'd look beyond, Lord, just the borders, Lord, of our own city and state and country, God, and understand that there is a big world out there and a lot of people do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So I pray that you would help us this morning. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts this morning. We thank you for it now. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In order to understand the subject of missions, we must first understand the plan of God for mankind. You see, God's original plan for man, when he made them back some 6,000 years ago in the Garden of Eden, was for mankind to have perfect communion and fellowship with God and to be the rulers over God's creation called earth. And the scripture tells us that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. The Bible says, "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." By the way, let me just say this. Did you hear that? Male and female created he them. Amen. Let's let God define biology, not mankind. Amen. That was just a rabbit trail. I had to chase it real quick. Amen. Verse 28, "And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." That was God's original plan. And so when God made our first parents, Adam and Eve, they lived in this wonderful place called the Garden of Eden. And you know what? That's what was going on, right? What we just read. They were accomplishing the will of God. They had perfect communion and fellowship with God Almighty. Imagine, the Bible says that God would come down in the cool of the evening and he would commune with them. And things were going well. Things were going the way they should have been until we come to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1 when the scripture says, "Now the serpent." Now the serpent. And we all know the rest of the story, don't we? And we know what happened. Satan entered the picture via the serpent, and mankind was tempted, and mankind, instead of choosing God, chose sin, chose to believe the lie of the devil, and look at the mess we're in today. Now, when God came down and dealt with that mess, God made a promise to Satan. And here's what God said to him in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And this is the first mention in Bible prophecy of a Redeemer coming to do something about the sin problem. And that's exactly what was fulfilled when Jesus Christ came to this earth, and he fulfilled that prophecy that was given 4,000 years prior to that. And so when Christ came, you know what he did by dying on the cross and by raising from the grave? He crushed the serpent's head. Amen? And by the way, praise God for that. Aren't you glad you serve a God who's bigger and more powerful than old smutty face himself? Amen? I'm thankful for that. And not only did Jesus destroy the works of the devil, but he paid the penalty of sin. And that's what the the Scripture says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen? And Jesus Christ bridged the gap between man and God, the Heavenly Father, and paid the sin debt for mankind. Now, in order for everyone to know about this, Jesus Christ brought into existence what we call today the local church. And Jesus Christ, in His wisdom, called out those men there, beginning with His disciples, and He started something 2,000 years ago that is still going on today. And what we're doing here this morning, known as the local church, that word church in the Bible, it comes from the Greek word ekklesia, and it means a called out assembly. And by the way, that's what we are this morning, amen? We're called out. We are a local assembly of believers gathered together. And so Jesus called out His church. But once He called His church out, He then commissioned His church for a task. And that's what we call the Great Commission. And that's what we just read this morning, the Great Commission. And that Great Commission is found in the book of Matthew, the book of Mark, and the book of Luke. And here's what Jesus said. He said, "Go ye therefore," speaking to His church, "and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Mark chapter 16, verse 15. "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Thus the church was born and commissioned to carry the message of the gospel to those who have never heard. And let me say this morning. The mission of the church hasn't changed since Jesus Christ gave the command some 2,000 years ago. You see, unlike mankind, God isn't fickle and God doesn't change His mind at the drop of a hat. You see, there's a character trait about God. It's called immutability. And you know what that means? That God does not change. Amen? Now, you know what? Mankind changes our mind, don't we? Mankind's a very fickle creation, and the culture changes, opinions change. But let me tell you one thing that never changes. God and His Word never change. The Scripture says in Malachi 3:6, "I am the Lord, I change not." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, "Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever." And let me tell you, that's why you can stand on the Word of God, church. That's why you can look to the Bible for your source of direction, for the anchor of your soul, because God and His Word do not change. So here we are, 2018, approximately 2,000 years since Jesus Christ was here and gave us our marching orders. And even though today churches seem to be nothing more than glorified social clubs, daycare centers, and sporting complexes, it's just those, those things are not ought to be the thrust of the church. Those aren't the things Jesus shed His precious blood for. The main purpose and responsibility of the Church of Jesus Christ is not to entertain, but to preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, that's the purpose of the church. Now, it's true we're a church family. And it's true that we like doing things together as a church family. If you didn't figure that out through my announcements, then you weren't listening very well. Amen? We do things together as a church family. We fellowship. We eat. Amen? That's a good thing. And we do all those things. But let me tell you, that's not the purpose, the main purpose for White River Baptist Church. Let me tell you, the main purpose for this church is to reach as many people as we can with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the thrust of this church. And listen, as Christians, that ought to be the thrust of our personal lives also. So when we talk about missions, the heartbeat of the church, we're talking about our responsibility to reach people with the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. To let people know, hey, you know what? There's a remedy for your sin problem. Amen? Hey, there's a place that you can go to besides hell where you can live in forever with perfect fellowship and communion with God. Amen? But it's all through Jesus Christ and what He did for us on the cross. So I want to talk about that this morning. I want to preach about that for a few moments. Number one, let's talk about the people of the mission. The people of the mission. First of all, I want you to notice the people of the mission are people who the Bible says are lost. People who are lost. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, the Bible says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost." And you see, you notice here, when Jesus tells his church, he commissioned his church, who he said to take the gospel to. He said to take it to all nations, to every creature, to the world, whosoever, all. You know what those words tell us? It's an all-inclusive, any person alive on the planet is the subject of the mission. And folks, you don't have to have a degree in some type of divinity to look around and see that, you know what, we're living in a world that's lost. A world that's lost. I read some statistics this week that I want to read to you. And this article I read is actually a few years old, so the numbers that I'm going to read to you are even greater today. But here's what the article said. The world's population is increasing at the rate of 10,300 per hour, which amounts to about 243,000 per day, or 1 million per year, and the rate is still increasing. According to the CIA's global population patterns, that it tells us that there will be 1 billion more people on the planet by 2015, bringing the total to 7.2 billion. By the way, that's on the money, because I did a search this week in 2018. The world's population is about 7.5 billion. There are 30 times more people to reach with the gospel today than during the apostles' lifetime. The death rate worldwide is 3 souls passing into eternity every second. That means every 60 seconds, 180 people die and go into eternity. Every hour, 19,400 people die and go into eternity. Every 24 hours, 249,600 people die and go into eternity. That means every 30 days, over 7 million people die and go into eternity. And every year, over 91 million people die and go into eternity. In the first century AD, the world's population was about 150 million. 32 years later, there were 250 million people on the planet. In 1650, there were 500 million. By 1850, 200 years later, the world's population reached 1 billion. Only 80 years later, 1930, the world's population doubled to 2 billion. 30 years later, 1960, the world's population climbed to 3 billion. By 1975, only 15 years later, there were 4 billion people on the planet. 12 years later, 1987, there were 5 billion. And the 6 billion mark was reached in 1999. In 2018, the current world population is 7.5 billion. It's amazing when you realize, think about this, 50% of those who are alive today were born in the last 40 years. It's estimated that we're reaching the world with the gospel at the rate of 3 to 4 million souls a year. It's estimated that 3 billion people who are alive today have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel or even the name of Jesus Christ. Most of Christianity knows about the rapture and the second coming of Christ, yet most of the world knows nothing about Jesus Christ coming the first time. It's estimated that only 10% of those who hear the gospel respond to the gospel. If we had a day of Pentecost every week and we saw 3,000 people saved and baptized every week of the year, get this, it would take 7,984 years just to reach China with the gospel. If we could line up single file every missionary that even borders on preaching the gospel, that line would be 15 miles long, while the population of the world grows at the rate of 139 miles per day. There's over 6,000 languages spoken in the world today. Only 4,000 have no Bible. There's only 274 languages that have the complete Bible translated, while another 745 have only the New Testament. The remaining languages, only 9 have a portion of the Bible translated. There's 3 million villages in the world that do not have a gospel witness. According to the Rudy Johnson's publication, a survey taken in 1987 concluded that of the 11 independent Baptist missions sending agencies, that there were only about 2,600 missionaries on the field. And that was back in 1987. The number of missionaries declined since then by 27%. Combine that with the average age of the missionary being only 50, that you can see that there's a problem reaching the world. So what was the point of all those statistics I just gave you? To let you know, without dispute, without argument, we are living in a world that is lost in desperate need of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a large task ahead of us. So when we talk about the people of the mission, we talk about the lost. But not only are there lost, but there's also the laborers. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." And you know what, folks? That's where you and I come in, okay? You know, not one time we're commanded to make people believe anything. That's not our job. Our job is not to make people believe. We're simply commanded to get the message out and let God do the converting. Yet in order for God to be able to do his job, you know what God needs? God needs Christians being willing to do their job. Amen? And by the way, God takes the pressure off us, okay? It's not my job to go around forcing people to believe in Christianity, forcing people to believe in Jesus Christ. My job is to simply give them an opportunity to know that there's a way for them to be saved. The scripture says in Romans 10:13, I quote this verse all the time, you hear me say it, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." By the way, aren't you thankful for that verse? Amen? "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." But we seldom read the verses that follow that. Here's what the scripture says in verse 14. "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How beautiful, and how shall they preach except they be sent? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Here's my question for us this morning, for me, for you. Are we willing to labor in the harvest field for the souls of mankind? How about it, church? How about it, Christian? Are you willing to step outside of your comfort zone to get the gospel to anybody? By the way, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? Who's going to be involved in getting the gospel out if we don't do it? Praise the Lord, in the last about 17 months of our church being started, God has allowed us here through the efforts of White River Baptist Church to see 50 people accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Amen? Praise the Lord for that, by the way. That's a wonderful thing. And that's been done through outdoor knocking on door-to-door visitation. That's been done through our nursing home ministry. That's been done through different preaching opportunities I've had as far as preaching funerals. That's been done through people coming to church and accepting Christ as our Savior. You realize just since the beginning of 2018, as of last week, I believe we've seen 10 people saved since the beginning of 2018. What a blessing, amen? By the way, that's what it ought to be about. But let me ask you this, is that enough? Is that enough? I mean, folks, think about it. I mean, is there still people out there who's lost? Is hell still hot? Are people still dying? Has Jesus come yet? Then you know what? I think we all know the answer to that question. There are people everywhere willing to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what the problem is? We've talked ourselves out of the fact that people want to know about it. We've allowed the devil to deceive us to think that, you know what, nobody out there cares, nobody really gives a rip about God, and you know what, I just don't want to be seen as bothering people, talking to them about their relationship with God. Let me tell you something, that's a lie from the pits of hell. I mean, there's more people out there who want to be saved than we can even imagine. Many of you have met my brother-in-law before. In fact, I think he's going to be here tonight, my wife's brother Heath. And my brother-in-law Heath, he's not a preacher. Okay. In fact, you know what? He's a soldier. He's a veteran. And Heath, he struggled with a lot of different things in his life. But let me tell you one thing that my brother-in-law takes serious, and that's winning people to Jesus Christ. He is the best personal soul winner I know. And let me tell you why he reaches people with Jesus Christ. You know why? He's not afraid to talk to anybody. Within the last year, and I promise you I'm not exaggerating, and by the way, he wouldn't tell you this, so I'm telling you this. He has won 150 people to Jesus Christ in the last year. And you know where most of them have been at? On the street. You know where most of them have been at? Walking out of a gas station. I was with him on Friday. We were in Walmart. He saw a guy he used to go to school with. You know what he was doing while I was getting the things we needed? He was witnessing to him. Pulled out a gospel tract, gave him the gospel in Walmart. And you know what? Listen, why is that such a thing that as Christians should be abnormal? Listen, that ought to be the normal thing that we do as Christians. Listen, folks, Jesus has already done the hard part, amen? He came, He died, He rose, He's in heaven mediating for us, He is there cheering us on. What's it take for people to be saved? It takes laborers. That's God's plan, amen? My question for you is this, Who are you going to reach? Let me tell you what I believe. I believe there are certain people in this life that God has made for us to reach. And if we don't reach them, they're not going to be reached. I think about the people we interact with every day. Maybe it's someone you work with. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe, you know, it's everybody, folks. And you know what? I believe there's people out there and you don't know what's going on inside of their heart. They may on the outside have a facade. You know what? They may be appearing like everything's going all right, but you don't know what they're thinking when they go home and lay their head on their pillow at night. You don't know what God's doing to orchestrate circumstances. And you know what? There's people out there willing to be saved, but you know what it takes? It takes laborers who are willing to open their mouth and talk to people about Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen, it's not rocket science. You don't have to be a preacher to do it. Just tell them what happened to you. Amen? Tell them your testimony. Let them know how God worked in your life. I met a lady last week in a restaurant, and I was talking to her, and I gave her a gospel tract. You know what I said to her? I said, you know what? Jesus Christ has changed my life. Jesus Christ, I don't have religion. I have a relationship. And you know what? He's changed me. He wants to change you also. Amen? It's not this, oh, I got to go to Bible college to figure out how to tell people. Tell them what happened to you. Amen? Give them gospel tracts. Listen, folks, we got to be busy in the labor fields. Amen? So the people of the mission are the lost and the laborers. Let me talk to you for a few minutes about the place of the mission. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said this, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." So Jesus here has given a plan of where we're supposed to be laboring at. Okay? First of all, he mentions the city of Jerusalem. And that in our day and age would equate to our local area. And that means this. As Christians, we have a responsibility to reach the people that live around us in our local area. For us, that would be Princeton and the surrounding communities. And you know why we're here as White River Baptist Church? We're here so that we can get the gospel out. And by the way, how are people in our community going to hear the gospel? We got to take it to them. That's how they hear. Amen? Now again, it's not a matter of making people believe. Okay, that's not our job. Our job, though, is to at least give the people in our area an opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ. And that's why at White River Baptist Church, we systematically go out on a regular basis. And I know the last few weeks, the weather's been kind of junky, and we haven't been going out as regular as we normally do. But you know, normally, every morning on Saturday at 10 o'clock, you know what? We go out, we take gospel tracts, and by the way, we train people how to do it, and someone who's experienced goes with them until they get experience. And you know what we've done so far since we've started our church here and before we started? We have knocked on every door in Princeton. Now, you know what? That's not enough because a lot of those folks weren't home. A lot of those folks have moved in and out. And so we are systematically taking the gospel to every door in this town. By the way, that's what we're supposed to do. Amen? Gospel saturation. We have responsibility to reach our local area. So we do it by going door to door. How else do we do it? You know what? Our place of employment. Okay, God's blessed us here in this community with an area that has a good economy. And people work here. Amen? Praise the Lord for that. And you know what? Listen, you're not at the job you're at by accident. Okay? You're there because God has people there He wants you to reach. Now, I'm not saying I get it, I understand it. Don't steal from your employer, okay? You can't, when you're supposed to be working, you can't be, you know, trying to distract people. I get all that, okay? But you know what? There's break times. There's before work. There's after work. Listen, there's people in our employment that need to be reached. How about this? Our neighborhood. You're not in your neighborhood by accident, okay? You're there for a reason. There's people that live all around you. Listen, hey, who's going to reach your neighbors if you don't do it? Who's going to do it, folks? I mean, come on, your neighborhood. How about this, young people, your school, amen? There's all kinds of ways as White River Baptist Church that we can reach our Jerusalem. And so the goal in our area is gospel saturation. And by the way, let me just say this. There's a lot more work to do than just two or three of us can do. Okay, look, folks, I'll be honest with you. I need some help. Amen? I need y'all to help get involved here. You say, well, I'm scared. I don't know how to do it. Hey, you know what? Neither did I the first time I did. But you know what? I'm willing to work with you. I'm willing to train you. I'm willing to help you do whatever we got to do. But look, we need help getting the gospel out to our community. And by the way, let me just say this. You know what? It's just not my responsibility as the preacher to do it. If you're a Christian, it's your responsibility. And one of these days, I'm just telling you, when you stand before the Lord, you're going to have to give an account of your responsibility to reach people in your area with the gospel. Amen? So listen, we need help doing that. And so we're to reach our local area. But Jesus didn't stop there. He said, "You shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea." What's that mean? That is our regional area. For us, that would be the state of Indiana. By the way, let me tell you why White River Baptist Church is here. Because there were a church 70 miles to the north of us got a burden for an area that did not have an independent Baptist church like ours. And you know what they did? They saw a community that needed a church like this. So they put their money where their mouth was. And you know what? White River Baptist Church was started because of a church 70 miles to the north of us, reaching their Judea. Now listen, you know what we've got to do as White River Baptist Church? We also must have a part in reaching our Judea. Listen, I got a burden for the Hoosier State. I'm Hoosier bred and born, amen? I love Indiana, especially southern Indiana. I love southern Indiana, all right? If you travel in our state, you go north of I-70, things get a little different up north, all right? But you go where we're at in southern Indiana, it's a whole different place. We drove yesterday over toward Sellersburg and went to that sportsman's banquet. And man, it was such a beautiful drive east there on Interstate 64 as you're driving through the hills and hollers of southern Indiana. Listen, I love southern Indiana, but you know what? There's a lot of towns just like ours that don't have a church that's out there preaching the gospel. Now listen, there's religion everywhere, folks, but I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about folks who are willing to preach from a King James Holy Bible, who are willing to challenge folks about getting out and reaching their community. Listen, churches are a dime a dozen, but we're not talking about religion. We're talking about personal relationship with Jesus Christ, amen? And there's communities all over southern Indiana that need a church just like White River Baptist Church. You know what? We have responsibility to reach those areas. Well, how do we do that? Well, we do that by helping support small or new works to reach southern Indiana. I know of a young man, and I don't know for sure yet, but he's leaning toward starting a church in southern Indiana in the next couple years. Listen, when he does, let me just say this. We're going to have a help part in it, amen? We're going to partner with that young man trying to start a church in southern Indiana, reaching other Hoosiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to partner in it. We're going to probably help him financially. We're going to take some folks of our church and go help him the way people helped us when we started and go help him in his area and knock on doors and invite people. Listen, we got a responsibility to reach our Judea. And then eventually, we're going to reach our Judea by starting another church ourselves. I got to be careful how much I let out of this brain come through my mouth and tell you, because you'd be real scared if you knew all that's going on in this brain right here. Amen? Listen, folks, I've got a big vision, okay? And listen, I want to see this church start another church. Amen? I want to reproduce the process that started here and God used us to birth another. By the way, isn't that what things alive are supposed to do? Reproduce. Amen? If you're not reproducing, then you're dying. And so we've got to, as this church, reproduce another church in the Hoosier State. Now, that'll be down the road. Amen? We're not ready for that yet. But eventually, just to let you know, that's what I'd like to do. Amen? By the way, that's what the Bible says we're supposed to do. Churches starting churches. So what is the place of the mission field? It's Jerusalem. It's Judea. But you know what? Jesus isn't done yet. He said Samaria. What's Samaria? Well, it's our national area. If for us, it would be the United States of America. Let me say this, folks. America is a mission field. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean America's a mission field?" We're a Christian nation. Oh yeah, we're a Christian nation that's killed over 60 million babies legally in the last 45 years. We're a Christian nation that now legalizes same-sex marriage, glorifies perverts who can't figure out what gender they are, and persecute those who stand up for traditional marriage between a man and a woman. We're in the Christian nation that's legalized the gateway drug marijuana in 20 states and the District of Columbia. We're a Christian nation that has the highest incarceration rate in the world. We're a Christian nation where nearly 88,000 people die from alcohol-related causes annually, making it the third leading preventable cause of death. We're a Christian nation that produces 89% of the world's pornography, and on the list can go. Listen to me, church. We got to have a part in reaching the United States of America for the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that, you may ask? Well, we do it by, number one, having in to preach for and supporting evangelists that travel the country preaching the Word of God. Now, as we've started our church, I've had several different people come in and visit and preach for us here. A group of those men are called evangelists. And that means their job is to, it's a calling, by the way, it's in the scripture, of where they travel the country and they go from church to church, week in and week out, preaching the gospel, out on the streets, knocking doors, trying to reach people in the good old US of A, amen? And so, you know what we need to do? We need to have men in like that and help support them as they reach our United States of America with the gospel. I'll be preaching about this tonight. I'll be talking about some principles of Christian stewardship and how that we can take part of the money of our church and support men like that. I would like to, in 2018, start supporting someone who's doing something to reach the United States of America. We got to invest in that, folks. Listen, do you love America or you don't love America? Do you love the country? I mean, when you look at that flag right there, does something go on inside of you? Is there some patriotism that raises up and said, hey, I love the red, white, and blue. I love America. Amen? Well, you know what? Anyone can say they love America. What are they doing to help reach America? Amen? I hate what our country's become. I hate the filth and the perversion that's flowing through our nation. We got to do something to help reach this nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's how we're going to do it. How else are we going to do it? Well, I would like to eventually take some type of home mission trip, some type of mission trip to some place within the borders of the United States of America, reaching people for Jesus Christ. And I've personally been involved in those when I was a young man. I was able to go to a church in West Virginia and help start a church there. And I've been able to go to Montana and help start a church there. Listen, we're going to do it one of these days. Amen? We're going to take a missions trip and try to reach some type of group of people within the borders of our own country. How about this? Pray for and support godly leadership. Did you hear what I said? Godly leadership. You said, preacher, you're starting to talk politics. Amen? Well, let me just say this. You know what? I don't care about being politically correct. I care about being biblically correct. Amen? And I dare you to find a book of the Bible that wasn't either written to a political leader, for a political leader, or by a political leader. God's interested in politics. Let me just say it. Amen? Listen, as Christians, we don't support godly leadership. You say, are you Republican or a Democrat? Let me tell you what I am. I'm a Christian, amen? And I support people who are going to stand for the principles of that book right there. All right? We got to support that. How about this? Be involved as God leads us in politics. You know what? I don't know who in this room God may lay on your heart to run for some type of political office. If God lays it on your heart, let me say, go for it, amen? That's a good thing. Christians need to be involved in that. Listen, we got to do everything we can to reach our country. So Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, you said, surely Jesus is done. Man, that's a big task. Guess what? He's not done yet. Because notice what else he says. And to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know what that's called? Foreign missions. The stats I gave you earlier prove that most people on this planet do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Or have any kind of copy of the Bible. You know, according to the mortality rate, that from the time we started this service until the time we get into our cars to go home, there's going to be thousands of people that have died. Thousands. And every year, 65 million people enter eternity. You know, I wonder how many of those 65 million people know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know that 89% of the world's religions teach that there's another way to heaven besides Jesus Christ? You know what that means? 89% are on their way to hell. That's what that means. Now, what is we as this church, what are we going to do about that? I mean, can we change the whole 89%? No, we can't, okay? But can we not make it maybe through our efforts, through what God allows us to do? Could we change it by 0.1%? Can we change it by 0.25%? Listen, folks, we got to do something to get the gospel to the world. Amen? How sad that the most advanced and blessed creation of Almighty God, the ones who for whom God literally died for, have never experienced the love that He has for them and will spend an eternity separated from Him in that horrible place called the lake of fire. What are we going to do about it, church? How are we going to reach the world with the gospel? So how can we be involved in worldwide missions? Well, number one, we could go ourselves. Now, the reality of the matter is, most of us, God is not called to a foreign mission field. Okay? Most of us, God, we're in the place God's called us to do. But you know what? Maybe, and by the way, missionaries, God's still calling missionaries out of churches. Maybe God will come and speak to some of our young people, or I don't even know, maybe some of our adults, and God will come and tap on your heart and say, hey, I want you to leave your place, and I want you to go to the foreign field and take the gospel. Hey, you know what? If God would speak to your heart about that, that'd be the greatest thing ever. I get it. It'd be scary. I get it. It would be difficult. But listen, are the souls of mankind worth it? Amen? So you know what? We could go ourselves. But let me tell you how mainly we're going to reach the world with the gospel is this. We're going to send people in our place. That's how. As I've told you before, I wish I had the power of, you know, beam me up, Scotty. Wouldn't that be cool? Amen? I mean, you could just thank it and you were there. That would be awesome. But you know what? We can't do that. We can physically only be in one place at a time. And you know what? For most of us, the place we're to be is where we're at now. God's called us here. God's planted us here. We're working here. We're going to church here. This is our community. And by the way, that's the way it is. But yet, just because we're here doesn't relinquish our responsibility to try to reach the world with the gospel. So how do we do it? We send people in our place. They're called missionaries. Amen? If you go back there on our back wall, and you'll see the prayer cards and the prayer letters of two missionaries that this church currently supports. And we support the missionary family, the Skeens, and they are taking the gospel to the people of Russia. And then we support a family named the Flowers family, and they are supporting, they're taking the gospel to the people of Turkey. In this month, we're having missionaries that are going to come in and take the gospel to the people of Mongolia and the people of South Africa. And then in May, we got someone taking the gospel to the people of Brazil. Listen to me, okay? Here's God's plan. You either go or you give. We got to support them, folks. I mean, don't you one of these days, when you get to heaven, don't you want God to look at you and say, hey, let me show you something. Let me show you what you had a part in doing. And you turn around and look behind you, and there's some people from Turkey that are in heaven. Why? Because of the funds that our church sent to help support the Flowers. Or people from Russia, or people from South Africa, or Brazil, or all the other places God wants us to send people to. And you know what? Listen, when you give and you're a part of missions, those people that are saved, are the Bible says they are fruit to your account. You get a part of that reward in heaven, amen? So listen, we have got to send people in our place. And that's what this month of missions is all about. Listen, folks, we got to see beyond Princeton, okay? We got to see beyond Gibson County. We got to see beyond Indiana. We got to see beyond the United States of America. We need to lift our up eyes into the harvest and see that there's a world out there that does not know Jesus Christ as our Savior. You've heard me give this stat before, but you know as Americans, we only make up 4.5% of the world's population. You know what that means? 95.5% of the world lives some other place besides the United States of America. Listen, it's a big world out there. There's a lot of people out there, and we've got to do something to try to reach them. Amen? Why? Because Jesus Christ commanded us to. Amen? And so that's what this month is all about. And tonight, I'm going to, as I mentioned earlier, I'm going to teach on some biblical stewardship principles and teach you how we can systematically give part of our money to reach missions. Amen? Listen, I'm telling you, as a Christian, you want to be part of that. And so we've seen so far this morning the people of the mission, the lost and the laborers. We've seen the place of the mission, our local, regional, national, and worldwide mission fields. And real quick, let me finish this morning with this thought. How about this? The power of the mission. Man, I can't leave this out. Amen? You say, preacher, it seems like it's an overwhelming task. It is. You say, how in the world? I mean, I'm just one person. I've got to work a job. I've got a family to take care of. I got other interests. How can I be a part in all this stuff? And what in the world allows us to be a part in a missions program? I'm going to show you right now. Amen. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We read it earlier. Let me read it again. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. And he goes on to say the places to be witnesses unto. Listen, let me tell you the only way this can happen, it can only happen through supernatural power. And you know where that supernatural power comes from? The power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Listen, the Holy Spirit of God, he's not a liquid, he's not a gas, he's not magic pixie dust, he's a person. And you know what? When you get saved, he lives inside of you and he wants to control your life so that you can do supernatural things. Amen? Listen, aren't you just tired of the normal, mundane Christianity? Don't you want something that's more on a higher plane? Don't you want God to use you to accomplish things for eternity? It only happens through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I've spent time recently talking about it, so I'm not going to belabor it this morning. But listen, He'll give you power to go. He'll give you power to give. He'll give you power to have compassion that we need to reach a lost and dying world. How do you have the boldness to take gospel tracts and reach people you work with? How do you have boldness to go knock on doors through a community and tell complete strangers about a Savior who loves them? I'll tell you how you do it. Through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, amen? That's how you do it. Through the power, God empowers us. Listen, I can't stress to you the importance enough that God is more interested in seeing people saved than even we are. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God said it, He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, God is concerned with people that need to be saved. And by the way, you know what? He is willing to save people. He just needs people who are willing to obey that they can be empowered to do the task. I remember when I was a young man, I was probably 12 or less, and at my church growing up in, there was a missionary that came through. And I'll be honest with you, I don't even remember his whole name. I know his first name was Bill. And Brother Bill, and I don't remember what his last name was, but he spent most of his life in the deepest, darkest jungles of Africa trying to reach those people for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was back in the States, and he was trying to bring awareness to the fact that those people need to be reached. And he told a story I'll never forget. He said that when he first went to Africa, his biggest hindrances in those jungles were the witch doctors. And by the way, he said those witch doctors had power. He said he saw witch doctors call lightning down from heaven. He saw witch doctors do some pretty amazing things. By the way, that shouldn't surprise us. You know why? Because the devil has some power. Okay? Go back to the book of Exodus, and when Moses was facing off with Pharaoh. Hey, Pharaoh's magicians and astrologers could do some pretty miraculous things. But let me just say this. God has more power. Amen? And so he saw this, and he saw the influence these witch doctors had over the people. And when he'd go into these villages, these witch doctors would come out and literally refuse the people to listen. Well, one day he went to this village, and the witch doctor came out and challenged him to a showdown. He said, I'll tell you what, Mr. White Man, this of course was in his words, I don't know if he said it this exact way or not, but he said, hey, he's like, you know what, you talk about how powerful your God is, won't you show the people how powerful your God is? And he said in front of him was a bed about 12 foot long of red hot coals. He said, if your God's so powerful, take your shoes off and walk across those coals. And he said, as clear as day, God spoke to him and said, do it. See what the missionary did? He took his shoes off, his socks off, he rolled his pant legs up, and he walked across that bed of hot coals. He said, I'll be honest with you, I was scared to death. I had no idea what was going to happen. He said, when he got done walking through the bed of coals, he held his feet up. There wasn't a mark on his feet. And you know what? God used that to break the power of that witch doctor so he could reach those people for Jesus Christ. Now listen, okay? I'm not foolish enough to say I'm going to bring a bed of coals in here this morning and walk across it, all right? But all I know is this. When it comes to reaching people, God will do supernatural things to try to reach people with the gospel. Listen, God gives us the power to do it, amen? And you know what God needs? He needs vessels. He needs me. He needs you. He needs us to go and try to talk to people about the Lord. You say, but preacher, I'm so scared. Listen, I know. I've been there. I still get scared at times, okay? But you know what I do? As that fear starts to want to come in my heart, I say, oh God, you have me. The Bible says you haven't given me the spirit of fear, but you've given me the spirit of power and of love. Holy Spirit of God, flow through me. Use me to reach people for Jesus Christ. And I knock on the door. And you know what? God uses me then to be able to do my part to try to get the gospel to other people. Now listen to me, church, okay? You know what? We have got to have a part in missions. We got to. You know why we have to? Because we're going to be held account to it. That's why. And if you think God put us here in Princeton just to go to activities, just to go out and do different things, social activities for our church, you're missing the point. That's not why we're here. We're here to reach people for Jesus Christ. Amen? And missions is the heartbeat of the church. And that's what this month is going to be about. As these different folks come in, I would pray that you'd allow God to speak to your heart. And listen, ask God, God, what would you have me do to reach people for you? And whatever He's asked you to do, do it. Whatever He asks you to do.